The other thing that I experience with aging is that there is more like stiffness and soreness and things like that that you didn't have maybe 10 years ago when you did a certain thing. And like trying to just give yourself some grace, because you have to accept and give yourself compassion around the fact that your body is changing and you have a choice. You can either continue to walk around the block or take your dog for a walk or whatever your thing is or not. But we know that continuing to move is a really important piece.
Welcome to the Feminist Wellbeing Podcast, my sisters. I'm your host, Stephanie Dozier, a non-diet nutritionist, certified intuitive eating counselor and cognitive behavior coach. And I earned my PhD in diet culture. And at the age of 40, I decided to leave diet culture behind. And here I am after having changed my personal life and my practice in nutrition. And I'm here to guide you on how to feel damn good about yourself, your life, your health, your body by reshaping your mind instead of your body. And in this podcast, we go beyond the food. That's where the title comes from. It's Beyond the Food. And we fight diet culture and patriarchy by living powerfully. In today's podcast, we're going to learn how to age powerfully. We did a survey on Instagram to all of you, the listener of the podcast, and ask you between four different topics, what would be the number one subject you wanted to hear about on the podcast? And by far, like I mean 50% of any other topic, you wanted to hear about aging and aging powerfully. So I brought in my friend Deb, who does just that. She helps women, coach women on how to age powerfully by helping you understand ageism, how ageism interacts with patriarchy and diet culture and creates that space where you think, oh my God, I'm getting old. So by the end of this podcast with Deb, you're going to think, oh my God, I'm getting old. So excited. By the way, that's where I live from. I'm actually very excited to get older, because the more I advance in age, the less I give a fuck about anything. And I just do me, what I want, how I want to do it. And I'm living, honestly, my best life at 49 years old than any other age before in my life. And I say that with absolute truth to the core of my being. I'm way happier, healthier, richer, wealthier at 49 than I've ever been at any other part of my life. And the main reason is because I stopped giving a fuck. And by the way, the last episode, the episode before this one, 388, was exactly about that, how to stop giving a fuck about your body, but really use what I taught you in this podcast, 388, to not stop giving a fuck even about your age. It's the same process, just different question to ask yourself. Okay, our guest today is Deb Benfield. She's in her 60s. I don't know exactly how old she is. It didn't even cross my mind to ask her. She's in her 60s and she focuses her research, her training, her passion, her clinical work on the intersection of pro-aging and body liberation. And we're going to talk about the difference between anti-aging and pro-aging in the episode, and it's going to blow your mind. Deb is a registered dietitian, 35 years in dietetic, a registered yoga teacher, and she's helped hundreds of women heal their relationship with food and eating and aging. She's a gem, and I'm so excited to introduce you to her. So let's roll the interview. Welcome to the show, Deb.
Thank you so much for having me. I'm thrilled.
I'm excited for this because, to the listener, we voted on Instagram what you wanted to hear, and this was by far your number one choice. So I'm going to ask Deb the question that's going to get us started. How do we age powerfully?
How am I going to break that down?
Yeah, three steps maybe.
Yeah, okay. I think the first thing we have to do is to recognize that we all have internalized ageism. We've been exposed to ageism since we were children. We read stories as a child that were like full of scary older women, especially. So it's very hard for us to imagine that being older is not bad. It's very much like how diet culture makes thin always good at no matter what, and fat's always bad no matter what. Same here, young is always better no matter what, and old is always bad, bad, bad. So you have to recognize that that's true for all of us. No judgment. We all have internalized that. And the more we become aware and recognize how we talk to ourselves, like, I'm too old to wear that, or I'm too old to get started with that program, the I'm too old to change, those kinds of thoughts, we have to step back and recognize that those are learned. Those are things that we can therefore unlearn. So recognizing that we have internalized ageism and that we can shift out of those thoughts is probably the most important piece. And the second piece, I think, is, well, the work I do is very much about looking at this intersection with the anti-aging machine coming at us along with diet culture and how it's just another layer that we have to face. And I think disengaging and dismantling our internalized anti-fat bias at the same time is necessary for us to actually do the third step, which is to become comfortable in our bodies. Because I personally think wanting to care for yourself, wanting to nourish and move your bodies and give yourself rest and regulate your nervous system, all of those things that we know actually make a difference in how we feel every day are actually relevant. What we weigh is actually not relevant. And I'll say that again. Actual weight, and I feel myself getting pulled into a bigger conversation that I'll just let pass, is not nearly as important as all these other pieces of the puzzle. So learning how to truly care for yourself rather than wanting to control the process of how your body is changing, because that's, in my opinion, kind of a waste of energy. It's a good way to lose your time and focus if you get distracted by wanting to control your body instead of being comfortable in your body. So those are three big steps.
It makes you lose your power when your focus or hyper-focus or obsess about controlling your body all that time, you're not in your power.
Absolutely. And you can't be present for the life that you have. We have shared passion for that topic.
Well, and I can share my story about aging, but I want to recap. So how do we age powerfully? Number one, awareness of how we were socialized to be afraid of aging. When you mean ageism, do you mean the fear of aging or the fear of an age? What does it mean exactly?
Ageism to me means believing something about a person based on their age, just like you would believe something about somebody based on their size. Very parallel. It's like having this preconceived notion about somebody based on their age. You can go the other way. You can say, because you are so young, you don't have this and that.
So internalize means preconceived notion about what
your own.
My own self at a certain age.
Exactly.
Got it. Okay, that's very important. So it's just like the internalized fat phobia. It's how we take the message from outside.
Yes.
And we become our own oppressor in the body that we are.
Yes, 100%.
So,
exactly.
Internalized ageism means I have an internal narrative about what is not possible for me or what should be my reality at a certain age. And I keep like reminding myself of my limitation of what my life should be.
Yeah, very limiting belief. Very limiting. And has true health consequence. There's amazing research on if you have a negative mindset around what will happen when you get older, you actually have a shorter lifespan and less health span, so to speak. You have less access to your own health because you kind of give up. Yeah, you tend to like, right, you tend to not get engaged in things that are helpful and healthy.
In the manifestation world, also, you manifest what you think about, right? So if you think 70-year-old people are less mobile and you think about that in your 60s, you will do less mobility exercise. So you will create the lack of mobility in your 70s by not doing mobility work in the 60s.
Yeah. And I want to just say within what you just said.
Yeah.
Also, I think we need to be careful about being ableist too, because things actually do happen.
Yeah.
And we do face challenges as we age. I don't want to just be all like toxic in my positivity either. Aging does create challenges, and we're all so unique in what happens. And a lot of things are way outside of our control, right? That's a whole nother conversation. So I don't want to contribute to ableism either, because we all have different ways of getting older and different ways of having abilities.
Perfect. So I recap. Number one is being aware of all that social conditioning. Two, what did you say number two was?
I said also at the same time, dismantling internalized fat phobia and diet culture with it.
Right. And, and number three?
Becoming more comfortable in your body as you are. Yeah.
Let's talk about diet culture, fat phobia, and aging. You made a post on social media. So I'm going to date this interview to March 25th. So everybody go find Deb's Instagram account. It will be in the show notes. And you made a post about Oprah, because it's the week of Oprah releasing her show around weight loss drug. And you said, Oprah just turned 70. We need to talk about how diet culture and weight loss complicates aging. Tell me more about that.
Yeah. Again, I can feel myself like 16 different ways I could go with this. So overall, I think it's important to acknowledge that being in an older body does complicate this conversation. Because after age, we think it's around 60 to 65. I think it's more like 65. There is a shift toward losing muscle mass and bone mass at a higher rate, because we actually start losing muscle mass and bone mass when we turn 30, but it starts accelerating at 60 and 65. So we also know that when you lose weight, for no matter what you do, people are going to argue that certain kinds of diets change what I'm getting ready to say, but it's really not true. If you lose weight, you lose not just body fat, you lose bone mass and muscle mass. And when you're over 60, that's very significant, because for many reasons, you want to protect your muscle mass and your bone mass, because it prevents falling if you have more muscle mass and have stronger bones. And falling is, you know, has very significant consequence the older you get. It changes even cognitive function to have more muscle mass. There are all sorts of reasons why you want to protect your muscle and bone mass at this particular age and older. So dieting is not benign. Weight loss is not benign. And I know you've talked about that probably for lots of reasons. But there's a lot of harm to be had with diet culture and weight loss. So this is just another one. And specifically these medications that the special was about. That whole class of drugs alters gastric function. And as a dietitian, I also know a lot about what happens with aging. Your GI tract changes quite a bit, some people more than others, but we do not absorb very important nutrients nearly as well. So it just doesn't make sense to me why you would complicate that even more, why you would contribute to that. So in my mind, as a dietitian, these drugs have a lot of, I'm concerned about many aspects of this particular class of drugs and weight loss in general, not to mention all the other things, all the other reasons why it's, as we said before, disempowering and kind of takes you off your own center, so to speak, at a very important, precious chapter in your life, where it would be nice to really focus on your true values. And I think for most of the people that I work with, actually, this is not a true value. It's just what they've learned from culture, that they should be thin and fit. And do you want me to talk more about this? Because I have more to say.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. Go ahead. And I just want to add, I have coached women in their 70s.
Yeah, for sure.
To let go of diet culture in their 70s because they had spent 50 years having that as their number one focus. And the wisdom that comes with aging made them like, okay, enough is enough. But go ahead. What did you wanted to add about?
I want to add more to what you just said too, because I too have seen women in their 70s and 80s finally stepping away. I mean, it's heartbreaking and infuriating that there's been a stuckness in their lives around this. And I also understand it. I have compassion too, because there's a reason that you think that following diet plans are a good idea. You've fallen for, you know, what you've been told. You're just trying to be good. Everybody's just trying to be good, right? You're just trying to do the right thing. And there's this amazing bubbling up of creativity. I have a membership of people that come like from invitation only after they do my group program. And that's one of the biggest themes in that membership group. It's like people are starting to have more access to their writing, their photography, things that were in their life kind of on the side are much more energized, which is so thrilling to me. It makes me so happy. But what I was going to say otherwise is my belief is that our culture upholds a particular kind of body as powerful and good and belongs without effort. And if you've read any of Sonia Renee Taylor's work around the body hierarchy, it's called the default body, the body that's automatically given clout and power and is invited and feels like loved and worthy. And it's typically white, thin, abled, male, cis, all this hetero, all those things. I forgot to say young also. So thin and young, let me just highlight those two things. So if you have any identities that are outside of that, or as you develop identities outside of that, i.e. are no longer thin or no longer young, you feel pressure to get back to a sense of belonging because you feel like you're losing a sense of relevance in our culture. You're losing social collateral. You're invisible. I mean, it's very subtle and very real. So you just have this feeling that you should be thin and fit because at least you can control that, right? Maybe you can pass as young for longer if you're thin and fit. And that's what I see in the pro-aging world. That's a whole nother conversation because there is a pro-aging movement, but I'm very concerned that there's no body diversity in that movement, that there's a lot of thinness. And when brands try to be inclusive around age, they lift up thin, fit bodies with silver hair. It's the same body. So there's just no representation for biodiversity within the aging work. And I also want to own my own. I sit here white and straight size. So I want to say that too.
So when you say the pro-aging movement, can you tell me more about this? Because I'm personally not very acute with that. And I bet you a lot of my listeners aren't either.
Yeah, there is a budding movement. There are publications and there are brands that are trying to capture the major market of women over 50. There's a huge market. So therefore, the interest, I hate to sound like I'm so terribly skeptical, but I think that's one of the major reasons is there are a lot of consumers that are women over 50. Therefore, they want to represent these women over 50. And there is like hashtag pro-aging. People who are not in alignment with the anti-aging, which I love. I am 100% with it. Agreed that anti-aging is like anti-living in my mind. Aging is living. And aging is something that naturally occurs. So to push against that by signing up for the next product, there's a huge wellness, lots and lots and lots of wellness products. Like collagen powder. There's so many things I could talk about, not to mention the cosmetic industry. There's so many things that are anti-aging. So the people who are pushing against that, and it's lovely, are pro-aging. However, I just don't see body diversity within that movement. So I keep trying to bring awareness to the fact that the body liberation movement, body positivity, body acceptance, tends to be pretty young. And you know, we've got this interesting black hole where in the pro-aging movement, no body diversity. In the body acceptance movement, no older women. So we need to work on this intersection.
What would be then the, I don't want to say the right movement, but it would just be body acceptance?
Yes, it would. I mean, body acceptance with some effort to include older women or older people.
So it's not about being pro-aging. It's about accepting aging.
Yeah. And maybe even in my mind, looking at the potential. I mean, to me, the transition that menopause is has the capacity for energy, like new kinds of energy.
Talk
like
to
literally,
me more about that. What is
well,
that
I'm
transition?
65.
Yeah.
So I have experienced all of this and I'm kind of looking back at the menopause and perimenopause. And, you know, my heart goes out to the perimenopause. It's so hard. It just is. But on the other side, it's incredibly, I mean, I think there's a surge of happiness. There's research that shows there's a U curve of happiness, where you're the happiest in your life when you're the youngest and the oldest. I mean, you literally do feel more powerful and don't care as much about the pressures around you and have access to more happiness after a menopause has passed, which makes a lot of sense if you think about it.
Do you think that the power, when we say aging powerfully, mm-hmm. accessing the power of the aging process comes from acceptance?
Yes. And acceptance and pushing against the negativity that we all innately have and fear. There's a lot of health anxiety and fear. A lot of people have health anxieties. They tell me that they're doing great work with their intuitive eating process or their eating disorder recovery, and they go to the doctor and get lab values or, you know, test results that make them feel like they should. And they're probably told that by their providers too, that they should get back on some sort of diet. So it's very hard for people to stay with their body acceptance work and their non-diet way of living when they all of a sudden get some scary news and they have their own anxieties about getting older. So they get pulled back. It happens so frequently. And people really need to be educated about how it's not, it's the same information. There's still lots of wisdom in looking at making food choices around supporting your best health and your vitality and your comfort without centering your weight. It doesn't work to center your weight. We know that. There's so much research that supports this. But it probably is a good idea to think about things you could add to have an additive approach to make sure you are getting enough protein without going crazy. There's a lot of ridiculous, excessive focus on protein. And, you know, to make sure you do get some fruits and vegetables, but, you know, not getting too far into rigidity and pressure around it. Because the things that really matter the most are keeping your stress levels as managed as you can, continuing to move in a way that's comfortable and playful, you know, trying to get rest. There are a lot of things we can't change too. Like, I don't know if anyone wants to talk about this. I know you, I've been watching you talk about the social determinants of health, well, social. I mean, there are a lot of things that are way, way, way more important than your diet and certainly more important than your weight.
So when you look back at your patients, student, client population, and you look at those that are not being pulled back in diet culture or not being pulled back in dieting or controlling their weight, what's the differential agent or element of these women who are staying within their power through the various stage of aging?
Yeah, I think one very important piece is community. A lot of women that I talk to feel like they're the only ones, literally the only ones in their lives that are not falling for diet culture, that are not looking at all the anti-aging products and programs. And I think really trying to find community and have relationships with people who share these values. So that goes a long way. And maybe continuing to read books about this, continuing to follow social media accounts that support this, you know, kind of really fostering your own little bubble to support you. Yeah.
When we talk about aging, one of the circumstance we can't avoid talking is illness, disease of any kind, chronic or non-chronic or acute.
Right.
It's part of aging.
Yes.
If we want to stay within that mindset of aging powerfully, how do we meet the circumstance of disease symptoms to stay in our power through this aging process?
Yeah, I think there's a lot of ageism in healthcare and recognizing that you may have to really step up your sense of agency when you are in your healthcare situation. You may need to call on others to support you in that speaking up for yourself and maybe prepare yourself for that. And I also think doing what I said before and not really focusing on your weight, not letting them pull you in that direction because the data doesn't support it. The data supports all the things that we've been talking about, moving, regulating your stress by regulating your nervous system, rest. Those things really do matter so much.
One of the things for me that has, so I have chronic illness, like I have chronic pain. So though I have not met any aging illness yet, for say I've had this chronic pain since my mid-20s, one of the most powerful way to meet the disease was by accepting it. But not in the sense of giving up, but in the sense of accepting what is.
Absolutely.
While continuing to move forward with my limitation.
And that's what I mean about aging. Same exact mindset. Yes.
So agreed. Things will break, whatever that is, right? Yes. Things will start not working.
We're human. Yeah.
Right? That's at the end of the day, I don't know if you agree with that, but aging is the end of life. It's the process to get you ready for the end of life. As much as we don't like to want to talk about that, it's the reality of aging.
I talk about it freely.
Me too.
Yes. Yeah.
We're preparing for passing, right?
Correct.
So things will break down, but in order for you to be in your power within these things not working, it's by accepting it, fighting it.
Yes.
Doesn't produce quality action. What do you think?
I mean, it contributes to your suffering if you're fighting it. If you are grasping toward what is not in your life instead of being with what is, you contribute to your suffering 100%.
Yeah. Yeah. And I can even think about, I'm pointing for those that are listening on audio, I'm pointing at my eyes and my wrinkle. I could fight them in many different ways, creams and surgery and all of that. But by doing that, I'm constantly reminding myself that I think they shouldn't be there.
Yeah.
Where to and me, if I accept them, it's just like I make peace with them.
Yes.
What do you think?
I agree with you. I could not agree with you more. And I always feel like I need to say, because I know there will be people listening that feel like they need to be able to make the choices that they need to make. And so I also want to say, you know, I'm 100% around supportive of body autonomy. I want people to be able to do things. Yep. If it helps you feel better, to go get Botox, then I'm fine. I just think there needs to be an awareness, a little curiosity about if that is learned, if you're socialized to think you should. I just think there needs to be just a conversation with yourself about that. That's all.
Yeah. And because at the end of the day, for me, power is choice.
Yes.
When you stay in a space of choice versus I have to, choice will access power. I 100%. Have to access disempowerment.
Yeah. If I could high five you to the screen,
just like high five.
All about conscious choice, just coming to that conscious choice is powerful.
Yeah. Right. It's the same thing with people. Women who want to diet, as long as you are in a space of choice with all the consequence and the side effect, and I get it all, but this is what I want to do. That's body autonomy. That's autonomy of you being in your power.
Yeah.
But when you are in the space, but I have to lose weight, like you're completely disempowered now.
And same for wrinkles, same for all the things around your body.
So if we were to answer, how do we stay in our power through aging? Could the answer be stay within choices?
Yep. Stay curious and conscious of your choices.
Right. And be aware of where the learned narrative is populating your brain and making you think you have to do certain things.
And I think really staying awake to the fact that we live in a very ageist culture. So you're going to bump up against ageism. And I hope you can either let it roll over you or speak up for yourself. You know, it's that choice moment when you decide if you want to do the emotional labor with somebody or, you know, how you feel in the moment, how much energy you have and how important the person is. And at some point you may see yourself and hear yourself speak up frequently. Health is very real.
It is. And it's the same thing as fat phobia, ableism, all the ism.
Yes, all of it.
It's just when you are in that group that's targeted by one of the ism, I, again, with the world of acceptance, just made the acceptance that I'm going to have to do a little bit more work because I'm fat. I'm going to have to do a little bit more work because I'm now 49. But I don't make it a problem. I'm just like, I want to live my best life. So I'm going to do that little bit more work in each of those isms in order for me to live the life that I want to.
Beautiful. That's beautiful. Yeah.
Can we talk about one last thing? And it's a kind of a... I don't want to say dicey, but it's kind of a gray area.
Okay.
I'll come back to the example I was using earlier about mobility. Where often we lose our power when we think of accepting, so accepting our disease that could limit our mobility, often I will see client go to the place, well, I'm just not going to do anything anymore because I'm losing mobility. So it's a very fine space to say, I'm going to accept what is, but I'm still going to work to be as mobile as I can. Any example of mobility? What are your thoughts on that?
I don't know that I understood the part of somebody giving up, because in my mind, mobility is available to you because I don't know if your group knows about the Hayes sheets, the Health at Every Size sheets that have shown, and this was developed by Regan Chastain and a group of physicians. It's a wonderful resource to have if you feel like...
I'll put it in the show notes.
Yeah, if you feel like your weight, for example, is causing you to have difficulty with your knees, there's a lot of data that supports if you work toward developing muscle strength around the joint, it improves your mobility. And continuing to move your body, it could be yoga, it could be lots of other, it could be chair movement. Actual movement of any kind supports mobility. And there's this great story, Ashton Applewhite, who wrote This Chair Rocks. She's an amazing leader in the anti-ageist movement. Said, you know, she went to the doctor with some knee pain, and the doc says, well, it's because of your age. And she said, well, the other knee is the same age. I mean, there's something going on with the knee. Same thing with thighs, right? The doctor blames everything on your size when maybe there should be a little bit more curiosity about your actual knee or whatever the issue is. So I think, I don't know if this is answering your question, but encouraging, continuing to be curious about could doing some strength work around supporting this joint, could any little gentle movement that keeps things moving support? Because it really does help pain to actually move, even though it's counterintuitive.
Yeah, and my example was around mobility, but we could have taken any age disease symptom.
Yeah. Yeah.
Often when we talk about accepting something, people say, okay, that's just what it is. There's nothing I can do. And my message is there's always something we can do, but you just don't have to be attached to the outcome. Meaning if you, as you get older, we all have a reduced mobility to some extent. Well,
sure.
Right. We have to like be intentional in order to maintain our mobility, but not be attached to the level of mobility we have, right? Doing it out of respect for our body. Is that clearer?
Absolutely. And the other thing that I experience with aging is that there is more like stiffness and soreness and things like that that you didn't have maybe 10 years ago when you did a certain thing. And like trying to just give yourself some grace, because you have to accept and give yourself compassion around the fact that your body is changing. And you have a choice. You can either continue to walk around the block or take your dog for a walk or whatever your thing is, or not. But we know that continuing to move is a really important piece.
Yeah, to stay in your mental, physical power, the continuation of even moving your thoughts, moving your body is essential. Otherwise, you will feel disempowered to your age because you'll just think, well, I'm getting old, so there's nothing I can do, and throw the hands in the air.
Right. And it supports your brain.
Yeah.
It's so supportive of cognitive health to keep moving. So that's one of my main issues. It's not about, it's so far away from being about your weight. It's not about anything that relates to calories. It's not that at all.
Yeah,
it's about how you feel.
To answer the question, how do we age powerfully? I want to say it's almost necessary as women in a society that's entrenched in diet culture to have liberated yourself from diet culture. Otherwise, it'll be extremely hard for you to be in your power through aging while being attached to being a certain size and a certain look.
Yeah, they're very, very connected. Yep.
Yeah. Agreed. Because you'll get pulled in into the anti-aging world. And I mean, we can just talk about money, how all or a good chunk of your money will be diversified to buy all the gimmicks for anti-aging instead of doing what you want to do in your 60s, traveling or whatever. Yeah.
I feel strongly that diet culture and anti-aging culture are just BFFs. They are just almost like twins. It's so similar. So you're right. If you've already done some beautiful work around dismantling your internalized diet culture mess, you're going to find like a roadmap.
Yeah. And I'm 49, so I'm moving towards what I called my wisdom years. That's how I've decided to label them.
Yes.
And one of the things that I did very consciously at 45 or around that is started to follow more accounts on Instagram of women in their 60s living their powerful life. And it literally gave my brain an infusion of potential.
Yeah.
Because I could see other women do what I want to do at that age. And it allowed my brain to see the possibility.
Yes. And, you know, imagining yourself doing things is very important. Yeah. Visualizing yourself doing that. Right.
The limit that we think comes with age is only socialization. It's not true. There's no limits to what we can do at certain age. There's not a chart somewhere that says you can't do this at this age anymore.
You get to follow your own instincts. So you need to have a pathway to your own instincts. Yeah.
How have you find your wisdom blooming in your 60s?
Well, I've always tended to not worry so much what people think. That's always been my nature, but that is like in stone. It's just so much a part of my life that I just practice letting it go.
You say it, I don't give a fuck. That's really the epitome of I don't give a fuck as you get older.
Correct. That's exactly. I would say that is really important to me. Yeah. And there's so much more energy for what truly lights me up, right? And in that letting go, you have energy for things that truly light you up in life. It's a beautiful thing.
Yeah, when you can divert that pocket of energy that's accessible to you from worrying about what you are not or what your body is not, and you take all that energy up and you transfer it to what you want to do, then you become more energized, not because of the amount of protein you eat, but because you don't give a fuck in so many other areas.
Yes, yes, quite.
You just quite diverse the energy to another part of your life.
Yeah. I mean, trying to get good sleep and trying not to get stressed out about what's happening in the world goes a long way too. Yeah.
Any closing comment you want to partake to women listening to that in answering the question, how to age powerfully?
There are two things that I think are really important that we've already said, but I'm going to say again.
Yeah.
Is it realizing that bodies change as we get older, and that's okay. It's totally okay for your body to be different as you are in a different place in your life. Please let yourself be accepting of the changes that are very real and the fact that your body is your partner in your life and not your project. This doesn't work for you to constantly be looking at your body as a project, but instead being in your body as your partner.
If women, because I know you work with self-identified women, if women want to get more of you or work with you, what would be their next step?
So you can find me very easily through my account on Instagram, which is Aging Body Liberation. And my website is my name, Debra, D-E-B-R-A, Benfield.com. It's very easy.
Perfect. We will link to both in the show notes.
Okay. Thank you.
It was a pleasure having this conversation with you, Deb.
Absolutely. I feel the same way.
Hey, my sisters, if you are loving what you are learning on the podcast, you have to come and check out our feminist mentorship masterclasses and our internationally recognized non-diet coaching certification on our website at www.stephaniedote.com/shop. This is where you can get the individual coaching and the support to take the concept thought on the podcast to the next level, embrace our well-being in a way that will expand our collective freedom and power. Come and join myself and other women to learn how to reshape your mind, not your body. I'll see you there.